Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us. Do us a huge favor and smash that subscribe or follow button, depending on what platform you're on. It really helps the channel grow. It really helps us get the word out. Benny, where can they find us on social media?
Yeah, you can find us, Ray Benny Sports. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Check us out also on Reddit and Discord, and leave us a rating on your favorite podcast provider.
Yeah, let's get right into the Winnipeg Jets playoff talk, brought to you by Fahrenheit Airbrushing. Stand out on the ice, pavement, or the field with a custom airbrushed helmet for or goalie mask, a local Manitoba business with affordable solutions for any project. Check out Fahrenheit Airbrushing on Facebook or give them a call at 204-891-7431.
And tell them Ray and Benny sent you.
Ooh, I wonder if he's getting orders for a lot of whiteout gear.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Yeah, I know he's done some stuff like that in the past for someone. Probably in that 2017-18 run, I think someone he had spray painted or painted on the back of someone's like the painter outfit kind of thing, right? And yeah, done the Jets logo and stuff like that on there. So you could definitely do that too.
Oh yeah, you should get like a custom whiteout helmet made.
Yeah, that'd be good. That would be a good idea.
Yeah, man. Let's get into it. Let's review games one and two, thoughts and concerns, and then we'll talk about the star performer. Obviously, huge differences between game one and game two. It looked like in between those two games, one team looked at the tape and watched it well and fixed problems that they had in game one. And looked at the other team, expected that the previous night's formula would work and stuck to it and didn't address any of the issues in game one. Oh, what are your thoughts and concerns? I was pretty optimistic after that 7-6 win, cautiously. And now I'm kind of on the back of my heels after this 5-2 loss.
Yeah, even during that 7-6 win, even though the Jets were up 7-4, 6-3, I always knew in the back of my mind the way things were going and the way, you know, the goaltending was kind of going in that game that it was going to come down to the wire. And even after Colorado scored with 30 seconds left, still thought, hey, there's a possibility here that Colorado is going to tie it up. I didn't have faith in that. Yes, the Jets got the win, but it wasn't the greatest. You can't run and gun with Colorado and expect to win multiple games like that. And like you say, Colorado kind of figured things out a little bit. And locked it down. Plus, they got better goaltending. And Georgiev, I probably didn't say that right again, was a lot more solid last night. But he didn't have to make a lot of the saves that kind of Hellebuck was looking at. A lot of stuff was, you know, he had a clear looks. His defense was making it easier for him. And Colorado as a whole was making it easier for him because they knew they have to support this guy in order to win this series. Now, the Jets are going to need to do that as well to support Hellebuck and be able to come back and win this series as well.
Yeah, they somehow survived being outshot 46-23 in that first game, being outplayed with those high danger shots, high danger opportunities, 17-9 in game one. And then you knew that style of play could not be sustained, and that showed in game two, and they gave up 19 high danger chances. So they really got to lock it down on that 5-on-5 play. Their bread and butter seems to have totally gone. And it kind of looks like what some folks have been saying too, I agree with, that beginning of the Vegas series. They looked great. They came out with a lot of energy. In game two, they got shut down and couldn't figure it out. So, ooh.
Yeah, it looks like the other teams are making adjustments. And the Jets are kind of like, hey, we won game one. It worked. Let's stick to it again. We'll keep everyone the same. It's not going to work. That Colorado forecheck is on the Jets quickly, which is and the Jets D is struggling to get that puck out. Minus Morrissey, the rest of these guys almost cannot make a pass to save your life. Even in yesterday's game, DeMelo, it was a 4-on-4 where he had, I think, McKinnon on him, and he cuts back towards the net and skates right in front of Hellebuck and almost loses the puck there.
Never like, do that.
Dude, what are you doing? So they're having trouble. Colorado, it's not like they're doing anything crazy. A lot of their offense is getting the puck to the point with Makar even, and just looking for that opportunity. They got Nishkinen in front of the net. They got big bodies in front of Hellebuck. They're causing a lot of havoc. Jets, unfortunately, this is where the smaller defenseman comes in and kind of hurts them a little bit, trying to move those guys out. And they're causing problems. Hellebuck's not seeing pucks. And you talk about high danger chances. They were at 60 shot attempts after two periods yesterday.
That's crazy.
And, I think they were close to 30 shots or whatever it was. They're just under. So to me, even though Hellebuck's not facing, say, 60 shots there, he's still doing a lot to deal with 60 attempts that are flying at his neck, which is going to take him down, which is going to tire him out. But to me, they got to get on Makar. They have to start playing him and not letting him shoot that puck just whenever he wants, especially at 5-on-5, like you said.
You mentioned the name Niskanen. He is going to be an issue all series long. He's going to be a big issue. Also, physically, that dude plays with speed. He plays with size, and he plays with hands. And with him actually moving up on the first line with Drouin being injured, that might be of benefit because he's adding a totally new wrinkle to what McKinnon does. Like, dude can change a game with that size and that speed.
Yeah, for him, it's just basically go park yourself in front of Hellebuck, let Rantanen and McKinnon and Makar do their thing, and pucks will come that way and just be ready to tip it. You know, just cause havoc in front of the net, and it's working so far. So they just need an answer for that. And like you say, they have Niskanen. We have Toffoli, who unfortunately has been fairly invisible here for these first two games, along with that whole second line.
Yeah.
So you're not going to win very many games when your second line is not contributing. Right, last night they needed it. They needed help from that second line, and they didn't find it. Meanwhile, Niskanen potted a second one off a tip there, right? So those guys really need to pick it up, Monahan, Toffoli, and Ehlers. And that fourth goal, backbreaker. Because you have 12 seconds left, 6 seconds, you know, Manson gets it, 6 seconds left, he scores. Ehlers, I don't know what you're doing, man. You're on the ice. You know, maybe put it under your body. Do something. Fall on it. Monahan's going off for a change. Velarde, this is just like, it was a mess, and it was a terrible goal to give up, and it would basically end the game right there because there wasn't much of a pushback in that third period by the Jets.
Yeah, and not to, you know, pile on onto Ehlers, but in this particular game and on that particular shift where he lost the battle against the boards, which caused that turnover, which the Avs turned around to, he hasn't been looking too effective. He's been, looks like he's trying to do a little too much in the neutral zone. You know, we heard Bonus talk when they're in their losing streak that we have people trying to skate through 1-4 players, trying to open stuff up, and it doesn't work. And that's what it kind of looked like because the Jets really can't get anything going in the neutral zone and moving the puck. Like you said, with the defense not being able to move the puck or help out, they have just been stymied in the neutral zone. They can't even get it over the red line.
Yeah, and if they do, they barely get it over and it's turned back right away anyways. Whereas Colorado spending, you know, a minute or a minute and a half in the Jets zone, moving things around, and the Jets get in there, they lose it, and it's right back down there again. They need more offensive zone time, and right now they're losing that battle as well. They're going to have to flip that around. So,
you know, I'm not a huge analytics fan, but they're second worst in regards to Corsi, which was really reflective of not just offensive production and shots, but effect on how much time they're spending in the opponent's zone, which is not much.
No. And you got a goalie there that who struggled in that first game, and you didn't do enough to get into his head in this game, to get in front of him, to look at the Gustafsson goal. It was a scramble in front of the net, and it led to an open opportunity there, right?
Exactly.
How many other times did they do that the rest of the game? Very little, if any. Like, so you need to cause your own havoc in front of their goalie and throw them off their game. But like you say, Colorado came out with a game plan. Bednar outcoached Bonus yesterday. Bonus is too concerned right now about line matching. You know, and Sandberg and Stanley, they've been pinned in their own zone multiple times and struggled quite a bit. And Sandberg has had a pretty good year. But so far, you know, and even that one goal in game one where he tried to cut in front of the net and gave it away and it led to a goal. That was a big mistake. And Helly too last night on that giveaway, you know, the guy comes out, he's done well playing the puck since that Vegas series a few years ago, but he's still like, I don't know what it is. It's like playoffs come and the brain farts come for Hellebuck.
That was a horrible one. Oh, not it was only big. Did it show, not just only, it showed that ferocious Colorado forecheck.
Yeah.
The Jets also are, that's another reason why they're having trouble moving the puck or getting the puck in over the center line, is that forecheck is just coming at them hard.
Yep. And you see the effort by both teams right there. The Jets forecheck takes it easy, allows Colorado to move it. Colorado's for the most part, theirs is, but Colorado all the time, every shift, their guy is in hard in that zone and forcing the Jets to make a bad pass or a bad play. And it's happened multiple times. So Jets are going to have to clean that up. But you know what? It's 1-1 in the series. It's not all doom and gloom. But big tests here coming up in Colorado. And I don't know, like, do you factor in the time of the game at all? Screws up the Jets at all? You know, like, it's like the game starts at 8:45. The Jets started to struggle, say, at the 10:30 Winnipeg mark, you know, when those games are usually done. Like, do you think that has a factor in how they played in the second half of the second period and the third period?
They've already played 82 games this year with that caveat.
But just not at that time in Winnipeg. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't like it. It's not a home ice advantage to me that they start at that late of a time. Even the next game is 9 o'clock our time, 8 o'clock Colorado time. So I don't know. Either way, terrible effort to end that team. That's last 6 minutes of that second period, man. Gave up 3 goals.
Yeah, I think it's more structurally than physically. I think they had no answer for that forecheck, and they had no answer trying to get the puck through the neutral zone.
That's
what I think. And also, the goaltending advantage has disappeared.
Yeah.
What's Hellebuck at 870 right now? 870 something? Like, that's crazy. And that was a concern, you know, talking late in the year. Should Hellebuck be playing all these games during that losing streak? It's getting late in the season. Should he get into but I don't know. Obviously, I don't know what his mindset is in regards to getting momentum going into the playoffs, but that was a concern too. And Brossoit did play a lot of games, but I don't know, man. He's not looking good right now.
No, and he's going to need to step it up for sure on his end and be better. Like, even the first goal yesterday, slow reaction to that faceoff, off the faceoff, man. Like, that's an easy save for Hellebuck right there. You know, the second one, what was the second one? Second one, no. Third one was a giveaway. Fourth one was a breakaway. The second one was a tip by Nishkinen, right? So,
yeah.
But even that's in right. his, right. even in his saves and in his playing, he seems off. Like, he doesn't seem his comfortable self, like his big and boring self. And I think that has a lot to do with Colorado getting in his face and throwing him off his game. But yeah, he's going to have to steal one of these next two games or play well enough that the Jets could possibly win a 2-1 game or get after Georgiev and make him pay. But if he's not at the top of his game, there's no chance for the Jets.
Yeah, that William Jennings is meaning nothing right now.
Nothing.
Like, they're almost allowing double time of possession in their zone. Double. Yeah. And that's not good for your goalie.
No. Yeah.
Any goalie.
And then over 30 shots in both these games, 45 in the 46 in the first one, I think, and just over 30. And that's how kind of yesterday was kind of the Avs took their foot off the pedal yesterday a bit in that third and kind of just locked things down. So, you know, they weren't giving her as hard as they normally would in that third period. So,
yeah,
it's rough.
Star performer of games 1 and 2. I'm going to go with Mark Scheifele, 4 points in 2 games. He's winning battles against the board. He's playing physical. And he's being a presence in front of the net. So I'm going to give it to Mark Scheifele.
I'm going to go with Josh Morrissey. Just to me, he's been the most consistent guy out there. You know, in both of these games, whereas, you know, Scheifele, Connor, yes, they've got 4 points each. But in some shifts, they're dogging it kind of thing. Lowry was very good in game one. Not much yesterday on his end. So Josh Morrissey, for me, who's been consistent on his end, but one thing he needs to do is kind of do what Makar is doing. Get those pucks on net. Start creating more of that scoring opportunity. He's got to match Makar out there.
Well, that goal that he had that went top corner there when they had like 4 guys in front of Georgiev's face.
Yeah.
Like, they just got to shoot. And I know it's annoying to hear fans say, shoot, but they have to.
Yes. Yeah. Throw the pucks on net.
Gustafsson goal. It was set up by a shot and a rebound. And Colorado's inability to clear bodies from in front of the net. They're a very good offensive defensive team.
Yeah.
But size-wise and being able to clear the net, they've shown that they're not very good at that.
Yeah, it's funny when you say the offensive team. Like, how many times have their D been further in the Jets' O zone than some of their forwards? Like, even absolutely. Taves was down there last night and Makar, and it's like, oh, wow. Well, Sean Walker, how many times did he make those rushes? Like, it's wild to see it, and it's fun to watch in a way, but it's not fun because they're going against the Jets, right? So,
and the Jets are just allowing them. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah, that I agree on what you're saying, dude. Go ahead.
The Jets are just allowing them to skate through the neutral zone.
Yeah.
No physical resistance to them. Their forecheck is weak. Usually, it's one man and no one else supporting. The three other guys are already at the center line when this one guy is just chipping away and there's no one there to support that forecheck.
Yeah. No answers in those first two. Let's see what they can do game three on Friday night, but it's a big test. No, none.
That's what's scary, because that's what happened in the six-game losing streak as well. It's like, let's be steadfast. Remember Appleton said, oh, our style of game is to wait. We'll play the full 60. You can't do that. You can't do that. You have to be proactive in your adjustments. And Colorado made some huge ones going into game two. It, like their forecheck was crazy, and they let the Jets, or they didn't let the Jets even get to their blue line untouched, which is a forecheck.
It's crazy how that momentum yesterday kind of flipped, right? Because Kyle Connor takes that penalty with a high stick. 4 minutes, Jets kill it off. Scheifele scores, and that crowd is buzzing. Everyone's going nuts. Jets kind of control the play for a bit. Connor hits the inside of the post. Like, you think that goes in, it's 3-1 Jets, right? Yeah. Like, inches. He misses. Colorado scores shortly thereafter. Then the Hellebuck giveaway, and then that last one. It's just like things just ended pretty quickly for the Jets there. After that goal post by Connor, and that's unfortunate to see that, right? And maybe the Hellebuck gaff, you know, kind of messed them up, because maybe without that. But then again, the fourth goal was another mess up by guys. So I don't know, man. It's just too many mistakes last night, and they couldn't overcome it. Got to get by that game now and move on to game three and pick it back up again.
And also, it looks like Colorado's letting them have puck possession over the faceoff circle and at the blue line. Go ahead. If you want to pass it back and forth there above the faceoff circles and at the blue line, do what you want. But they're not giving the Jets anything in regards to after that, in the corners or nothing. They're locking that down so the Jets can't figure offensively anything out, and they won't shoot.
Yeah, especially on the power play. Like, you watched Tampa yesterday move it and get it to Stamkos, one-timer scores. There's none of that with the Jets. It's just slowly move it. Then the guy waits a bit. Then he might shoot. But then it's like, oh, pass it back. But I don't know, man. Exactly. The problem has been frustrating all year. So why change now?
Because it's a playoffs and it's huge. Let's preview games three and four, or let's look at games three and four. What do the Jets need to do to get back on track, on the winning track?
Yeah, pretty much what we've been saying. Get back to some kind of defensive game. Slow McKinnon down, because yes, McKinnon hasn't been going crazy with points, but he's been involved in a lot of damage to the Jets. Get someone on Cale Makar at that point. Yes. Different, say, on the power play. It's tougher. You're obviously man down, but when it's 5-on-5, Makar shouldn't be able to move around that whole blue line and look for the right opportunity to shoot. Get on him, pressure him into making some kind of play, and get those bodies out of the front of the net of Hellebuck. Give Hellebuck a chance to see it. If Hellebuck sees it, Hellebuck's going to save it.
Absolutely.
You know, that's how good a goalie he is. Right now, he's not seeing it. And he's just blindly putting up the glove and hoping it's going to hit, because he can't see nothing. And the Jets need to do better at that.
And be in position defensive-wise.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are chasing so much of the puck movement. And then when they take a shot and there's a rebound, someone's out of position, it's goal.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Especially in their own end, they're running around. They're running around like crazy, you know, and Samberg, Stanley, like, DeMello to me has not looked good. Really no one on defense besides Josh Morrissey to me has looked good. Dylan, kind of, you're big, man. Start being physical. Start using that body. And if these guys aren't, time for Miller to get in this lineup or Schmidt to get in this lineup and see what they can do.
They're going toe-to-toe with them check-wise, but I think still Colorado's definitely winning the physical battle when they have to win them.
Yeah. Line two. Don't forget line two, man. This is your time. We traded a first for Monahan. We made a couple other draft pick trades for Toffoli. Time for these guys to step up and show why we traded for them. I kept hearing how Toffoli is a playoff performer. Well, here's your time, man. Time to step up and show what you can do. Monahan's had a couple opportunities, unable to finish. Same with Ehlers. But yeah, you know, like you say, Ehlers is just kind of making mistakes. Blind passes that haven't really worked out too well this season. But he still continues to do them. So I'm hoping these guys can step it up in the next two games on the road and help the Jets at least secure one of these victories.
They have to figure out the dump and chase, because they cannot walk through this Colorado team to create offensive opportunities. They got to dump that puck in their zone. They got to chase it and win the fucking bat win the battles on the boards. I understand I'm getting all excited now. I think they can. I think they can lock down and they can win these games in Colorado. It's just they were totally outbeaten and they couldn't figure stuff out and they would refuse to dump it in and chase it for some reason. Why don't you do that? You know, in, again, going back to the six-game losing streak, a lot of the teams seem to play a 1-3-1 where they fill up the neutral zone and they can't get it. So then dump it and chase it. Let's use that speed. You know, you have big guys like Toffoli also who can barrel into the corners and win those battles. Scheifele has been winning those battles this series. So why not do that? Why not?
That's the thing. You have to get in there and punish that Colorado D and make them think twice, like Colorado is doing to the Jets. Right. Exactly. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting games on the road. You know, Colorado's fans are going to be pumped up. I love the whiteout, but I mean, the whiteout, I don't know if it does enough to really help the Jets or if it pumps both teams up. Colorado has come out flying. Like, even in game one with that crowd buzzing, Colorado came out flying. And it's funny to watch. It's like, okay, is the crowd helping the Jets or helping both teams? Right. Because even Bednar said he got goosebumps. Right. So, if he's getting goosebumps, what are the players feeling? You know, like, what better feeling right now is to hear this crowd cheering and to be able to possibly shut them up, right? So that's going to give Colorado some extra motivation there as well. And then the chance, right? The chance at the goalie. I love it. But sometimes that, you know, kind of pumps up the other team or motivates the other team to beat you or play a little bit harder. So that whiteout crowd or the Jets home crowd, the Jets need to start taking advantage of that more than they have. You know, even going back to 1.0.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If we go back to 1.0, playoff luck is not looking good.
No.
Who needs to step up? I'm going to say Hellebuck. That 870 save percentage over the first two games is not very good. And obviously the penultimate, is that the word, moment, is that forecheck when he gave it up. Was it Parise who got in his face on that one?
No. Parise scored. Started with a T, the guy, Tyrion or something, that took the puck away from him. Shit. So.
Any which way, not good. So,
I do agree on that. Hellebuck needs to step up. He needs to be big in these games. Give the Jets an opportunity. Along with him, that line too needs to pot a couple goals here and there and start taking over some of the play and force Colorado to make mistakes. So, hopefully, these guys can get it going because line four has done their job. Line four, and they've contributed at least a goal in each of these games.
Yeah,
line three had goals in the first game, and they're doing their job trying to shut down McKinnon. So line one's really been scoring. Good job
shutting down McKinnon.
Yeah. So now it's time. It's time for line two to take advantage. Like, if you looked at the Colorado forwards, yes, top end, they're way better than the Jets. Depth-wise, the Jets should be better forward-wise.
Yeah.
But right now, Colorado looks better there as well.
So then can Halley carry the team in the playoffs?
I still have faith in the guy. I still think he can do it. I still think he can bounce back. And he's going to need to do it tomorrow night because they're already, you're on social media. Everyone's calling for Laurent Brossoit to play. But I don't think Brossoit is going to do any better with the amount of shots and opportunities that they've been giving up in these two games.
No.
Went back and looked at some of the numbers for Hellebuck. In the last 25 playoff games since that playoff run, the Jets have given up over 30 shots, 18 out of those 25 games. Five times over 40. And Hellebuck still is at 908 out of all of that. So he's facing a lot of rubber. So, yes, he needs to be better, but the team needs to get those shot totals down to a manageable, say, mid-20s. And let Hellebuck see the puck, and he'll do well enough to carry them and help carry them as well. But this is critical time for him.
Yes, especially going into Colorado. I think he definitely can carry the team, and this is where he earns that money. Colorado 131 out of 41 at home. The Jets 128 on the road, though, including OT wins. So they can also win on the road. So if Hellebuck gets back to form and they play that 5-on-5 shutdown system defense that they had during the year, then yes, he can carry the team. Will we see Logan Stanley and Sandberg together in game three? I think they really need to get Schmidt in there to open up the offense, to be honest with you. And I'm sure a lot of people in Jets Nation will disagree with that. But I think they need someone with a little bit of offensive vision on the back end there that can open things up. And one of them would have to be sacrificed for that. And I'd probably say it's Stanley because I think they're already going toe-to-toe physically with them. And that's what Stanley really brings right now. So I think they're okay with that, but I think they need to bring in Schmidt for some offense. Ugh.
Yeah, and I think maybe Stanley's a big guy, and he gets physical at times, but he's not physical enough right now in front of the net. You got to make Colorado pay for standing in front of the net, and they let it go in the playoffs, right? We've seen Ben Sherratt do it lots of times, right, where he's just taking advantage of knowing that for the most part, he may take one penalty out of 10 times that he does this, where he beats the guy after the whistle, basically in front of the net. They need to do that. And if it's Schmidt or Miller, one of these guys needs to come in and step in right now, because that third pairing of Sandberg and Stanley has struggled. So one of those guys do need to come out, and most likely going to be Stanley. So, I mean, every time the puck's in our end, I'm holding my breath with those guys on the ice. And I've done it too, even with Dylan and Pionk. Because Pionk, to me, I don't know why he gets a free pass every time, this guy. He's struggled and has not looked good for this last half of the season, but has never been taken out. So we know those guys are not going to change. So some changes need to be made back there, and I'm sure Stanley is going to be the one coming out.
Pionk just mind-boggling, especially since the All-Star break. Mind-boggling. Or maybe just the last month of the season.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit longer than that, but yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Jets fans, put your thoughts in the comment section below. Let's talk some CFL football. Draft coming up, but you probably never know it. Ideas to market the CFL draft better. Do you want to go first on this?
No, you go ahead.
Well, first off, I think it's a travesty. What's the date here now?
April 24th.
We're coming up to June. That the CFL is not even on the TSN banner for the leagues that they have news on. It's NHL, NBA, MLB, NFL, golf, and then F1. And then CFL is buried in the more tab. Are you kidding me? You are the only media outlet that televises CFL games, and you don't even have them on your main banner. That's like ESPN not having the NFL on their banner. The NFL is number one on their banner, by the way. So not to have that already shows us what priority the CFL is on TSN. Like, there's no real hardcore video of position breakdowns. No, I don't know. It just pisses me off, man. Pisses me off. There's not enough coverage. There's nothing about what the panel has to say. They're going to bring them in last minute, and then we hear it. No breakdowns on team needs and targets as the main media outlet of the CFL. It's a failure on all fronts. Again.
Yeah, and I'm right now, I'm on TSN looking. And one, two stories maybe. And this is back March 29th. Of CFL draftees, really, and the news that came out today. That's really it. So there's nothing in there. Good news that they are televising round one and two, you know. But like you say, marketing wise, I didn't even know that it was on until I saw an article today that it was actually going to be televised by TSN. But I mean, yeah, like you say, throw some player profiling out there, get guys talking about it, even doing a half an hour show, because you don't have hockey right now. So every period or whatever they're doing the insider talk stuff. Yeah. Well, why can't you have a half an hour show or even 15 minutes of a show dedicated to some drafting profiles, right? Get this out there. Get the panel out there and discussing this. But yeah, again, it's another failure on this part to try and build league. And I give it to the CFL too. Like, what are you guys doing to try and build this thing up? You got the news circulating of Chad Kelly. You got the news today of Sean Lemon. It's not good news. You need to build up some better news and some good news. And what other way to do it with some fresh bodies that are going to come into this league and guys that are looking to make an opportunity. But yeah, like you say, again, CFL dropping the ball. Uncle Randy not doing his good enough job there as CFL commish. And there's just no backing. Even 3Down Nation, I haven't seen any articles about mock drafts or anything. Whereas NFL for the last month, that's all I've been seeing. Like, the draft is NFL draft tomorrow, right? That's all I've been seeing, like multiple. And I know there's not enough places covering the CFL, so you won't see as much, but you got to get more content out there, right? I don't know. Frustrating.
It's like the CFL takes the media money and they're like, go ahead, do what you want at the bare minimum. And they do.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me with this draft? And Canadian talent is getting so much better. And I get it. Yes, some of them might get an NFL sniff, but at the same time, profile Canadian talent. That's what the league is going to be built on for years and years to come. Do you know why the Bombers keep making the Grey Cup? Because they've been solid drafters and acquiring great Canadian talent. Yes, they're good at salary cap management and finding also some new American talent, but they've been very solid at drafting and acquiring Canadian talent. Like, shoot.
You say they're good at salary cap management and then they slightly went over the cap?
It's 25,000. That's nothing.
It wasn't nothing. People were up in arms. See, that's how they made it. It's like, come on.
It's a loose cap. We all know that. If your team doesn't want to go $50,000 over a cap because of injuries or whatever, that's their problem. Yeah. That's their problem.
Because you're paying a fine anyways, right? So the money's going back into the league anyways.
Yeah.
And like you say, how much was it? 20?
20-something thousand, 27, yeah. 25?
So it's not like you're going over 200,000 here or even 100,000. It's very minimal. So
that's easy to incur.
Yeah.
So you can tell me you'd rather just have a rookie that came in and take a veteran out because of injuries because you need to get under the salary cap? That's stupid.
And that's why your team is not winning. And that's why the Bombers were not winning for that long time. Like you said, Joe Mack didn't like Canadian players. You know, traded those draft picks, did whatever with them. And, you know, wouldn't make proper choices with the money. So.
Clown show. We haven't heard that name on this show in a long time. Joe Mack.
Oh, man.
We don't mention that name a lot. Oh, my goodness. Acceptable or unacceptable that TSN is showing two preseason games on TV?
Well, we're just talking about TSN, right? So to me, this is unacceptable. I wish they would at least show one game from each team. You know, so you can see what the teams are looking like and what kind of new players are out there to kind of take a look. And that would drum up some interest possibly in the season. I know exhibition games or whatever. But, you know, you got a dedicated fan base that wants to see these games, and they should do a better job of getting them out there.
I think it's, me devil's advocate, acceptable. The preseason happens in the middle of NHL playoffs. What are they, like, what, I'm not like, what are they doing? What can we expect? Like, that's the primary concern in regards to all their resources. It's going to the NHL playoffs because that's where their viewership is. And that's what happens also when one network has a monopoly over the league. So I don't blame them for choosing TSN or NHL playoffs over the CFL. And also they're offering it online. So hopefully they can build that brand of offering CFL content online because they should be building that. Because CFL content online is very weak right now, as long as the quality of the presentation does not drop because it's online.
But the TSN doesn't even have hockey, right? I know they show that they got their panel talking, but they're not showing any games. And you have five TSN channels. Could you not throw it on one of them?
Maybe. Right?
You know, throw it on TSN Ocho or whatever.
Well, they don't have Ocho, man. They have Cinco, and that's it. Cinco de Mayo. Quick shots. Are the Canucks?
Whoa. We alluded to him before a bit. Sean Lemon.
Oh, I thought that was quick shots.
Oh, no. I thought we were including it with CFL talk.
Thoughts on Sean Lemon? Go ahead.
Talking about, the CFL joined the upper echelon, I guess, of players getting suspended for gambling here because every big league has had a guy get suspended so far. Toronto Raptor guy, didn't he get suspended for life? Poirier. So I not necessarily a total black mark for the league or anything like that because every other league has had something like this. Not a good look at the fact that he was playing these games. It's like, why can you not bet on other sports or other leagues? Don't bet on the CFL, man. You got all this stuff to bet from. You don't need to bet on the CFL. And to me, how long did the CFL know about it? This was 2001 that he was doing this. So did they know over the last 2 years or did they just find out? Because this investigation moved pretty quickly, if they did, quicker than that other investigation that we're still waiting to hear news on. So I don't know, man. It's just, I get there's a lot of gambling out there, but why do you have to do it on your own league?
Yeah. It's such a part of the revenue in sports now, gambling.
And commercials, tons of commercials for it. You know, analysts now giving you what the over-under is for the second half. Like, it is a lot out there, right?
Yep.
It's nuts. And it's like, I have no problem with these guys gambling. Just bet on another league, though. Don't bet on the league you're playing.
It makes no sense why you gamble on a game that you're playing in. That's what I'm saying. That's all I have to say. I don't want to take a dump on anyone's career, but the legacy has been ruined now.
Yeah, I mean, our last question last episode was which two guys are getting first ballot Hall of Fame, right? And we both picked Sean Lemon, did we not? Or we kind of agreed on Sean Lemon? That's not happening now.
So. I didn't pick Sean Lemon.
Well, you went with, what's his name? What's the Hamilton guy? Why can't I think of his name right now? Simone Lawrence. Great.
I think he'll make the Hall of Fame and not Sean Lemon.
Well, especially now.
Quick shot. Are the Canucks in trouble without Demko? Of course they are. He's the number one goaltender. Who's this DeSmith that they have? 12-9-6 with an 8-9-6 average and a 2.89 goals. No, that's not good enough. They are in trouble. Yes, they're in trouble.
Yes, I agree. They are in trouble. And like you say, that's a huge drop off from Demko to DeSmith. And Saros is playing pretty good hockey there for Nashville. So I think Canucks, unfortunately, they had a great season. Unless the other guys can pick it up and the team can play better defense to limit opportunities, yeah, they're in trouble.
Can we pencil in the Oilers in the conference final then?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I think they're going to have an easy time with the Kings. And even if Vancouver get by Nashville, if Demko is not back for round two, Edmonton will have an easy time getting through there. Not easy, you know, but they'll have a little bit easier with that offense, right? And even with Nashville, I think they'll be able to do it. So, yes, the Oilers, I believe, are at least making the conference final.
Yeah, you can pencil them in as long as there's no injuries. They're an injury to Skinner or an injury to McDavid away from being not that good.
And so, that's when Jack Campbell comes back and leaves the team to Stanley Cup victory, right?
Yeah, right. Can the Leafs pull it off against the Bruins? Sure, why not? They're not a bad team. And they won a game. So, of course, yes, they can.
Well, they're down 2-1 right now in game three with about 10 minutes left in the third. I was impressed. Game two was very good. They played a great game in that and took it to Boston a little bit. To me, it'll come down to goaltending. And I believe more in Boston's goaltending than Toronto's. So I don't think they're going to do it. And especially if they're going to do it, they're going to need Mitch Marner to step up.
Should Amon-Ra St. Brown be the highest paid receiver in the NFL? I think anyone who's in the top 10 receivers in the NFL should be considered for being the top paid, and he's definitely the top 10. Like Jefferson, Lamb, Adams, Tyreek Adams, maybe Diggs, and then him. So if you're in the top 10, yes, you should be considered being the top paid receiver in the league.
Yeah, you finished number three in yards, partly, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and Jefferson getting hurt last year. But yeah, he's up there, and it's going to be every new receiver that comes up is probably going to make more and more, right? Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, they're coming up. Because you still got Davante Adams right now, who's a very good receiver. CeeDee Lamb had a great year, and he's going to get paid too. So right now, yeah, he is a top-paid receiver, and he is a good threat, and he helps Jared Goff out a lot. So for now, he'll be that top guy until Jefferson or Chase gets paid.
Yeah, these receivers. I'm surprised. This market's got to be in the brink of breaking. It's got to be in the brink of breaking.
But when? You still got guys. So you got Brandon Ayuk now, who's looking at this, who wants to get paid close to that. Ja'Marr Chase, Jefferson coming up. Like the wide receiver market is hitting like with the QB market where it's going. Like every guy is just kind of top of the next guy, whereas running backs are just going down, right? So
what round was Brandon Ayuk drafted in?
First round. 24, mid-20s.
Him and Samuel were both first rounders?
No, Samuel was second round.
So then why are teams tripping? They can get good receivers from 1 to 7, apparently. So, I don't know. I don't know why people are paying these receivers that much money.
I keep hearing your Steelers are tripping over Ayuk the most of wanting him. Well, who knows if that's going to happen. But that one team that I keep seeing in play for trading for him is always the Steelers, which to me would be surprising that the Steelers would trade for a guy and then have to pay him that much money.
Well, they have cap room right now.
They do.
Situations, and then they can cut him if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, but once you pay that, I mean, it's going to hurt a little bit, right? I mean, he's a good receiver. Yeah. There's no question. I don't know if he's there for $25 million a year yet.
How many 1,000 yards reception seasons does he have now? Three in a row?
Nope. This was his first one. I don't think he broke 1,000. And I don't think he broke 1,000 2 years ago. And then Shanahan didn't really trust him enough. He was kind of in the doghouse for the first couple of years.
I thought he had a streak now of going for 1,000-yard receptions.
It's definitely not three. I mean, unless I am wrong and it's two, but it's definitely not three. But
oh, Steelers. We'll see what they do.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting night tomorrow. We'll see what happens with the NFL draft, man. Oh, Caleb yeah, Williams, tomorrow. Number one.
We'll see.
Unless the Bears screw it up.
Benny, you have anything to say there? Oh, they will. Yeah, if they've seen their friends.
You know what? Thanks a lot for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and follow. And hopefully next time we record, the Jets are up 3-1. Or at least 2-2.
They got to figure it out. They got to figure out how to get that puck in that zone and keep it there. Anyways, in the words of LeVar Burton, we'll see you next time.
Hey, friends and neighbors, don't forget to check us out online on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter at Ray Denny Sports. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Leave a like, leave a comment, tell us what you think.